Morning. Thank you very much for coming. May our learning be a merit, Lili Nishmas. May Ira Chai and Nachama Bracha Lea Shalom, Vastav and Mordechai. We are learning all about the mitzvah of Peter Chamor, the firstborn donkey. First donkey to a mother. This mother donkey just gave birth to her first boy. So the mitzvah of redeeming it with a sheep and then giving the sheep to a Kohen. So let's start again with the Mishnah on Hey Amud Beis, because now we're going to deal with a new topic, the topic of, I guess, freaks. You know, a cow that gives birth to a dog, or a horse that gives birth to a camel. So Parah Sheyolda Min Chamor, let's say you have a cow that gives birth to a donkey. Chamor Sheyolda Kemin Sus, a donkey gives birth to a horse. Ptur Min HaBechorah, so then there is no law of Bechor with these. There's no status of Peter Chamor here. Shenamar, because the verse says, Peter Chamor Shtepam. It says twice. The opening of the womb of the donkey, the opening of the womb of the donkey. That's to teach you that the Yoled, the one giving birth, has to be a donkey, and the one born has to be a donkey. All right, next point. That was in terms of Bechor. What's the law in terms of eating these things? So the rule is like this. If a kosher animal gives birth to something that looks like a non-kosher creature, you know, a cow gives birth to a donkey, you can eat that donkey. But if you have a donkey giving birth to a cow, you can't eat that cow. Because what comes out of the non-kosher is non-kosher. What comes out of the kosher is kosher. There's no internet? Let's see.
On this,
it should be on if there is. It's just not working.
It's connecting now.
The red shows that it's connecting. Okay. Great. Okay, so on Hey Amud Beis, starting with the Gemara on 5B. Tanan Asim, we learned in a Mishnah later on in this parak. Rachel sheyoldah min eis. If a sheep gives birth to a goat, eis sheyoldah min Rachel. A goat gives birth to a sheep. Patur min habechor. So then there is no law of bechor. However, miyesh po mikta simanim. But if there are some signs showing that this child, this goat child of the sheep, looks like a sheep still, then chayiv. Then it is obligated in bechorah. Minani mili. How do we know this? That if the child doesn't look like its mother, it's exempt from bechor. Rav Yehuda says, Tamar Karkas, the Pasuk says, Ach Bechor Shor. It could have said, Ach Shor Kesev Va'ez. Why did it say, Ach Bechor Shor? It's to say, Shehehu Shor, U Bechor Shor. The only time that there's an obligation is when it's an ox, and its firstborn is an ox. Then it says, Bechor Kesev. That's to say, Shehehu Kesev, U Bechor Kesev. It's only obligated in Bechor when it's a sheep and its firstborn is a sheep. Then it says, Bechor Eiz, Sheyehu Eiz, Bechor Eiz. That's to say that it has to be a goat and its firstborn has to be a goat. Yachal afil yesh b'mikzah simanim. Now, maybe this is the case even when you have some aspects making it look alike. It'd be the same as if you had a goat that looked a little bit like its mother, the sheep, also it's exempt. Tamalom, that's just says, ach, it's always a chilek. That's just as to make a distinction. It's saying there's a rule that the cow has to be from a cow. However is to say, but not always. Sometimes not. And that is when you have a donkey from a cow, but I don't know about donkey from a cow. If you have a goat from a sheep, and there are signs on this goat of a sheep, then it is obligated, even though it is different. Now the Gemara asks, why did we need to have Rav Yehuda giving this pasuk Ach Bechor Shor v'hatana? But our Tana gave a different explanation. Peter Kanasiv Le. So Kanasiv Le Lepara. He said that the fact that it says Peter Chamor twice is to say it has to be the mother a donkey and the child a donkey. So not because of this pasuk of Ach Shor, Ach Bechor Shor. The answer is Udamer Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Rabbi Yehuda is following a different Tana. Rabbi Yossi Aglili. The Tana is going to embrace Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer that the verse is not Petrach Hamor twice, but the verse is this one. Ach Bechor Shor. The fact that it says Ach Bechor Shor, that's to say Ad Sheyehu Shor Bechoro Shor. Has to be that the mother is an ox and the child is an ox. Bechor kesev is to say at Shehu kesev. The mother has to be a sheep or bechoro kesev and the child a sheep. Or bechor eis, and then it says bechor eis. That's to say at Shehu eis. The mother's got to be a goat or bechoro eis and the child has to be a goat. Yachal afilu yeshba mikza simanim. Now maybe if the mother is a sheep and the child is a goat, but that child who's a goat has some signs of a sheep, maybe then too there would be a law that it's exempt. Tamalomer ach hilik. That's why you have the word ach to say not in all cases does it have to be the child a sheep like the mother a sheep. Sometimes the child can be a goat with the mother a sheep as long as the child which is a goat has signs making it like a sheep. So again, we have two psukim for the law. Either the pasuk of ach b'chor shor o b'chor kesef o b'chor eiz. Or the pasuk v'chol petar chamor tifteh besevim lo tifteh varavto v'chol b'chor adam v'vanacha tifteh. And then again, it says kol petar rechem l'chol basar shekiv l'Hashem v'adam v'beima yiyeh l'cha ach bato tifteh es b'chor adam es b'chor beima hatmeah tifteh. So, what's the argument? Whether we learn it from the fact that it says Peter Rechem twice, or from this pasuk of Ach Bechor Shor? Says the Gemara, Tana Didan, our Tana holds Savar Gali Rachmanim Kedushas Damin. The pasuk, the source, is by the laws of Peter Chamor, which is a law of holiness of the financial value, because a donkey is not intrinsically holy. The firstborn donkey is not brought as a korban. And then from there we say, well, if that's the law with even the low holiness, the holiness of money, that it has to be that the donkey is like its mother, so certainly even the greater holiness of Bechor, the Bechor of a kosher animal, it has to be totally like the mother. Rabbi Yossi Savar, Rabbi Yossi holds, no, Kali Rachman and Bekdush Zaguf, Hashem revealed about the whole intrinsic holiness. And the same is true about the holiness of finances. And we can derive the law where there's a holiness of value, namely the law of Petach Hamor, from the regular law of Bechor, Ach Bechor Shor, Bechor Kesef, O Bechor Eis. Okay. V'hai Tana Didan. Now, our Tana. Hai Bechor, Bechor, my Avid Leis. What does he do with that word Bechor in the Pasuk? Ach Bechor Shor. B'chor kesev, o b'chor eiz. Mi boy lei, he needs that. Look at Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina. For the lesson of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, I'm Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina explained, Lama namru emurin b'b'chor shor. Why did the Torah have to say that the insides, right, the rest of that pasuk, ach b'chor shor, b'chor kesev, o b'chor eiz, lo siftei kodesh heim, es damam tizrok al hamizbeach, throw their blood on the altar, ves chelbam taktir, and their fat should be offered. Ishei, to become a fire, l'reach nichoach l'Hashem, to give Hashem a nice smell. So, that's the focus on it. Yosef, and he said, Lama namru emurin b'b'chor shor, why does the pasuk specify that the fat has to go into the fire, and the insides has to go into the fire for the firstborn of an ox? Emurin b'b'chor kesev, the fats and insides have to go into the fire for the firstborn of a sheep. Emurin b'b'chor eiz, and the fats have to go into the fire for the firstborn of a goat. Tzrich, I need all of them. Because of Rachmana b'b'chor shor, if the Shem would have just said that the fats of an ox go into the fire, I would say shekin yisrab ben asachim, because the ox has a lot of wine that accompanies it. If it would have only said kesev, only if it said sheep, shekin yisrab ba'alya, because the sheep also has fat going into the tail going into the fire, that's what would have innards going into the fire. But I wouldn't know that the others have their innards going into the fire. Be'ez, if it only would have said that the firstborn goat, the innards go into the fire, shekin yisrab yitzel avodos kacham biyachid, because if an individual does avodah zara, he has to bring a goat. So chadam echad lo ase. Okay, you couldn't derive one from one. Or had Hashem only said by goat, or Hashem only said by sheep, or Hashem only said by ox, I wouldn't have been able to derive the others from it, that their insides also go into the fire. Let me derive one from two. I don't need all three. So Gemara says, what do you not want to be written? Now, lift Rachmanu b'shor. Let Hashem not say that the insides of an ox go into the fire. V'teisim ha'hanach. And I'll say the ox goes into the fire because the Torah said that the insides of a sheep and the insides of a goat that are firstborn go into the fire. I'd say no. Malal ha'hanach can describe it itself. Psachim. Sheep and goat, maybe their insides go into the fire because sheep and goats can be karbanos pesach. Whereas an ox can never be a carbon pesach. Lo lift of bakesef. Let Hashem not say about sheep v'tesim ha'anach. And I would derive from the others, from ox and goat. Mal ha'anach can describe it's avodas kochavim b'tzibur. If the community does avodah zara, then there is a goat as well as an ox, but not a sheep. So maybe that's why the goat and ox are more strict in their innards when they are b'chor going to the fire. Lo lift rachmanu be'ez. Let Hashem not say about goat v'tesim ha'anach. And I would derive from ox and sheep. But both ox and sheep have much more of them going on to the Mizbeach than a sheep, than a goat. Because the ox has a lot of wine and the sheep has its tail. It's a Mizbeach. That's why I need all three. I need that pasuk not to tell me the law that the child has to be like the mother. That I learned from the pasuk Peter Rechem twice. I need Ach Bechor Shor, O Bechor Kesev, O Bechor Eis to teach me that all these things, their innards go into the fire. Rabbi Yossi Aglili will tell you, Imkein Lichtov Kra, Ach Bechor Shor Kesev Eis, and then go on to say that the inside goes to the fire. Bechor, Bechor Lamali, why does it keep repeating the word Bechor? That's to tell me that it has to be like the mother. Halav Shmaminos, clearly what it's for is Achehu Shor, to say that the mother has to be an ox, U Bechor Roshor, and the firstborn an ox. Says the Gemara of Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Now, according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Hi Petach Hamor, Petach Hamor, my Avidle. What does he do with the pasuk that our Mishnah uses? Our Mishnah says that the reason how we know that the child has to be like the mother, because it says the opening of the womb, twice. So, how does he know? What does he do with that pasuk? He answers me, Boyale, he needs that. Look at the tani for the following brisa. Rabbi Yossi Aglili says, Mitok Shenem Ach Pado Tiftes, Bechor Adamis, Bechor Beimat Meya Tifteh. Since the Torah says you have to redeem the firstborn boy and the firstborn animal of the non-kosher animal, that's referring to the donkey, the firstborn donkey, I would think that also a firstborn horse, maybe a firstborn camel, also needs to be redeemed. Tamalom, that's what it says, Petra Chamor. That's what it says, the firstborn donkey, to say, Petra Chamor Amarati Lecha, that which opens up the womb of the donkey, Lo Pitre Susa Mugmalim, not that which opened up the womb of horses or camels. V'adayin Yomer Pitre Chamor Beset. So I still would have thought, maybe what opens up the womb of a donkey gets redeemed with a sheep. Pitre Susa Mugmalim, but what opens up the womb of a horse or a camel, Becholdav, or gets redeemed, but that was the sheep, but was something else. That's what I needed to have a second time. That the Torah says, Peter Chamor. That's what it says, Peter Chamor. And then it says again, Peter Chamor, Shnei Pamim. It says it twice to tell you, Pitri Chamor Mamarti Lecha. The firstborn donkeys have the law of Bechora, the Lo Pitri Susa Mugmalin, but not the firstborn horses or camels. So now we have the answer. According to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, how do we know that the child has to be like the mother? Ach b'chor shor, o b'chor kesef, o b'chor eiv. What does he do with the pasuk petach hamor twice? What he does with that is to tell me that this law only applies to donkeys and it doesn't apply to firstborn horses or camels. Says the Gemara, Parech Rav Achai challenged Rabbi Yossi Aglili. I don't understand. He challenged this drasha. If Hashem would have only said once, Petach Hamor, I would have thought, Davar Shaya Bechlal, it was something, there was a rule, right? There was a rule. The Yatzman Aklal Alamid, and now you have a detail. So, little Lamid Alatzma Yatz, it's not just for itself, Lamid Alaklal Kulo Yatz, it's for the whole thing. Because I would have thought that Hamor is included in all the donkeys, all the non kosher animals. Now it's explicitly, you see about a donkey that it needs to be redeemed by a sheep. So I would have thought like this, La'olam beset. Every non-kosher firstborn animal, I would think, has to be redeemed with a sheep. I would have thought that every non-kosher firstborn animal has to be redeemed with a sheep. So therefore, because I would have thought that really there's a klal that all animals need to be redeemed. Then there's a prat saying that the donkey gets redeemed with the sheep. So that's teaching about all animals, that all animals should be redeemed with the sheep, because when you have a prat, l'lamed al kulo, it's there to teach about the whole rule. And then, kazer rachmana peter hamor achrina, then Hashem has to say peter hamor a second time. to say pitre chamorim v'lo pitre susim u'gmalim, to say no, it's only donkeys and not horses and camels that are redeemed. Meaning what? Eima me'atinu miseh. Maybe only donkeys get redeemed with sheep. U'lolam b'chol davar. But really everything else has to be redeemed, just not with the sheep. So how could you say that for the fact that it says pitre chamor twice, I already know that all the other creatures don't need any redemption at all. Maybe all it means by the second pitre chamor is that the other creatures don't need redemption with sheep, but they need redemption with other things. Says the Gemara, Imkain, if that would be the case, Lichta Rahman Hashem should have said, Petr Chamor Tifteh Biseh, to say that the firstborn donkey should be redeemed with a sheep. And then the second time to say, V'chamor Tifteh Biseh, and a donkey redeemed by sheep. So that would tell you donkeys with sheep and everything else with something else. But since it says, Petr Chamor Tifteh Biseh, and then it says again, Petr Chamor Tifteh Biseh, says that which opens the womb of the donkey redeemed with the sheep. Then it says again, that which opens the womb of a donkey redeemed with the sheep. So Lamli, why do I need to repeat it twice? That's to tell what I'm saying. Petr Chamor Mamarti Lacha. It's the opening of donkeys. When the donkey opens the womb of a donkey, that means something. But when something opens up the womb of a horse or of a camel, it doesn't mean anything. And there's no law of any redemption at all. So now, our Tana, we said, uses Petr Chamor twice to tell me that Nidme, a child who's a freak, who doesn't look like the mother, doesn't have the law of Petr Chamor. He uses the pasuk of Ach Bechor Shor, O Bechor Kesev, O Bechor Eiz, to teach me that the insides have to be burned in the fire, because we wouldn't have known that the insides of a regular Bechor, of a kosher animal, has to be burned in the fire. So Tana Didan, so our Tana, Lemuti Susim Gmal Min Olam. What's his verse to say that there's no law of firstborn to the firstborn horses and the firstborn camels? Rav Papa answered, he learns it based on a klal uprat. The pasuk says, Kol peter rechem li v'chol miknachat yizachar peter shor vaseh ufeter chamor tifteh biseh. So since it said Kol miknachat Tizachar, that would have been a klal, right? All of your cattle that will have a male. That sounds everything. Then it says shor v'seh uchamor. Then it said ox, sheep, and donkey. Prat, that's details. So klal uprat, you had a rule, then you had details. In b'klal u'mashe b'prat. So now the details are to say that this is all that the rule applies to. Shor v'seh uchamor. All you have is ox, sheep, and donkey. But other things don't have the law of firstbornhood. And Rabbi Yosef Lili, why didn't he want to use this klal uprat? Why did he want to say that it's based on the fact that the pasuk says Petr Chamor twice? Petr Hifsika Inyan. Since it doesn't, it's reading that verse. The verse says, Kol Petr Rechem Li, V'chol Miknachati Zachar Petr Shor Vaseh. And then another pasuk, Petr Chamor Tifteh Biseh. Since it says Upeter Chamor Tifteh Biseh Peter, that's an interruption for what was going on before. So the Rabbanu will tell you no. Since it says Upeter, says the Vav Hadar Avinu, the Upeter combines them again. Rabbi Yosef will tell you Lo Lichtav Lo Vav Lo Peter. If we wanted to combine them, then don't say Peter, and then don't have to have the Vav. So clearly they're not combined. The Rabbanu will tell you. No, I have to make a distinction. One is talking about a donkey, which is only financial holiness. Whereas the other pasuk also mentions, you know, an ox and a sheep. Actually, it's just about ox and sheep. So that's about intrinsic holiness. It's about a karban. So pasukly, that's why I have to interrupt them. I have to have a new peter. Then I want to connect them again to create the klal. V'hadar aravlu, that's where there's a vav, to then combine them. Okay, so that completes the discussion of the psukim. And now we go into some questions about this law. Again, we have a very interesting law in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah started off by saying, if you have a cow that gives birth to a donkey, or a donkey that gives birth to a horse, this firstborn from the cow or the firstborn from the donkey would not have the status of Bechor. Doesn't have the special holiness of Bechor. He finally had a question in the yeshiva. What about parashiyoda min chamor, a cow that gives birth to a donkey? But v'yesh bo mitzvah simanim. But this donkey has aspects that make it look like a cow. It moos. Maybe it has a horn or two. It looks a little bit like a cow, and it's mostly a donkey. So now, what's the law? Now, what's the law? Do we say the later Mishnah, Eishyeldim in Rachel, a goat that gives birth to a sheep, and Rachel, Shli Eishyeldim in Eiz, or a sheep that gives birth to a goat? There, the Mishnah says that if in that firstborn sheep from the goat, or firstborn goat from the sheep, it has some signs of its mother, then it is obligated to Bechor. I'll tell you why. Torah v'hatorah, because the mother is a kosher creature, the child is a kosher creature. HaKadosh Zaguf, the mother has an intrinsic holiness, it's a karban. V'HaKadosh Zaguf, the child has an intrinsic holiness, it's a karban. But HaChabad over here, Tahatimea, the mother is a cow. The child is a donkey. V'HaTahora, right? Or the other way. The mother is a donkey, the child is a cow. HaKadosh Zaguf, the mother is a donkey, the child, which is a cow, if it's Bechor, it becomes a carbon, has intrinsic holiness. V'HaKadosh Zaguf, whereas the mother, the donkey, only has holiness of value, right? There's no, you don't bring a carbon as a donkey. So then look, so maybe they don't combine, even though they're a simanim. Olderma, maybe, cave and the EDV, EDV, B'nei Mikdash, B'Bechorah, both the mother, donkey, and child, cow, have the holiness of Bechor. So therefore, since the child cow has aspects of donkey to it, so maybe it is connected to donkey, and there is Bechor, and it's Kadosh. If you're going to tell me, if you'll assume, Kevin the Edevi, the B'nai Mikdash, B'Bechorah, since both of them could become Bechor, because there's such a thing as Bechor of donkey, there's such a thing of Bechor of mother, of cow, so now, therefore it's Kadosh. What about the following case? Chamor, let's say you have a donkey mother, Sheyolda Min Sus, who gives birth to a horse. But this horse has aspects that make it like donkey. So Mao, what's the law? Mao hacha. So what are you going to say here? Hacha vade lav bas mikdash b'bechorahu. Maybe we say here, certainly they don't combine, because that's nothing which could become bechor. Because horse doesn't have bechorah. So since horse doesn't have any status of firstbornhood, so the horse, which is the child of the mother donkey, even though it looks like the donkey a little bit, is not going to have the status of bechor. Oduma maybe came into mintz meyahu. The mother's a donkey, the child's a horse, they're both non-kosher. So Kadosh, so they have a connection because they're both non-kosher creatures, and now that this horse, child of the donkey, looks like the donkey a little bit, maybe it would have the status of Bechor, and you have to redeem it with the sheep and give the sheep to the Kohen. If you're going to tell me, since they're both non-kosher creatures, therefore there is a law of Bechor, it is Kadosh. So what about the following case? Para sheyolda min sus. Let's say a cow gives birth to a horse, and this horse has aspects like a cow. So Mal, what's the law now? Hachavadai hatoravatzmeya. So here do we say, listen, one is kosher, a cow. The other is not kosher, a horse. So there's no bechor. Habas mikdash b'bechor. One has the status of bechor. Cows, they're firstborn, have a status of Bechor. The child that gave birth to the horse, Labas Mikdash B'Bechor, doesn't have the status of Bechor. So there's no Bechor here. Oh, do maybe Siman and Milsi, the fact that this horse, child of cow, has aspects that make it look like the cow. It moves. Maybe it's got all sorts of blotches like a cow, even though it's basically a horse. So then maybe there is a law of Bechor. Tashma coming here, proof. We learned. Right, so we're trying to figure out this law that if there has simanim, there is bechor. How far does it go? So Tashma coming here, proof we learned in a brisa. The brisa says behema tohora. If you have a kosher animal, sheyoldim in behema tzmeya, gives birth to a non-kosher animal, patur min habechor. That non-kosher animal doesn't have bechor. Im yesh b'mitzvah simanim, but if this non-kosher animal has some signs making it like the mother, then chayevus bebechorah, then it does have the status of bechor. So my love of filu parash yeldim in sus, doesn't this say that even a cow that gives birth to a horse, so it's a kosher animal giving birth to a non-kosher animal, should have the law of bechor if it has simanim. So why says, well, that's not what it means. It means parash yeldim in chamor. It means a cow that gave birth to a donkey.
So it's different between the achila and the
to give it.
No, because both cow and donkey have bechor. That's why if a cow gave birth to the donkey, but this donkey has certain aspects. Like the cow, there's a status of bechor here. But if a cow gives birth to a horse, maybe not. Tashma, come in here, proof from another braisa. Parashi yodam in chamor. The braisa says if a cow gives birth to a donkey, the chamor she yodam in sus, and a donkey that gives birth to a horse. Peturim in abachor. There's no law of bechor. Im yesh bo mikta simanim. Now, if there are some characteristics linking the child to the mother, chayaves bechor, then there is an obligation of bechor. So, my lava tarvayu, doesn't it mean both cases there's an obligation of bechor? Even the case of a donkey giving birth to a horse, which has signs of the donkey. So Gemara says, look, maybe not. Aparash yeldam in chamor. Maybe only the case of a cow giving birth to a donkey. Then the donkey having signs of the cow, if there is a status of bechor. Aval chamor sheyeldam in sus. So 1 second. So then why did the Mishnah Brisa mention a donkey giving birth to a horse? L'may katani l'leptura, just to say that if it doesn't have simanim, there's an exemption of bechora, pshit, of course, that's obvious. Hashtum aparash yeldam in chamor. If you had the first case, a cow giving birth to a donkey, tidivi b'nei mikdash b'chora, both of them are things that have kedushas bechor. Nevertheless, amarti, you said him yeshua mikdash simanim in ilo lo, since it doesn't have simanim, it doesn't have signs like its mother, it doesn't have bechor. Chamor sheyeldam in sus mi bayat. Do I need to tell you the second case, a donkey giving birth to something which looks like a horse, that there's no law of Bechorah? So I said, no, I do need to tell you. It's needed. Salkadaitach would have thought, Hasam Hudiyesh lo karnayim. Vaha ain lo karnayim. I would have thought that when a cow gives birth to a donkey, then we say that the child doesn't have Bechor, because there's a big difference. The cow has horns. The donkey doesn't have horns. Ha parsoses dukos. The cow has split hooves. The donkey parsosea klutos has webbed hooves. Avalacha, but when you have a donkey giving birth to a horse, where edv both of them in la karnayim don't have horns, and edv both of them parsosea klutos have webbed feet. Ema would have thought that when a donkey gives birth to a horse, there is bechor, and just it's chamor adam ba'almahu. It's just a red donkey. It's really a donkey. Looks like a horse, but it's really a donkey. And therefore there should be bechor. So Kamash, I have to tell you that there is no bechor. But it's not for the latter case. And therefore we don't have a resolution. If you have a cow giving birth to a donkey and the donkey looks like the cow, yes, that certainly has the status of bechor. But all these other cases, a donkey that gives birth to a horse and the horse looks a little bit like the donkey, a cow that gives birth to a horse, and the horse looks a little bit like the cow, and we don't know the answer of whether or not they have a status of bechor. Yeah, question.
Rabbi, I think that the animals, they have instinct. If they, what they give birth, if it doesn't look like them, they will kill it. They will kill the baby, and they won't even feed the baby.
Maybe. But you have a rancher who's watching what's going on in his flock.
So it's a suffix, and then if the coin, I can tell the coin. Proof.
That's right, because it's Mamon Shein Lo Tovin, whenever you have a suffix, presumably.
You can still eat it. That's the scary thing.
I saw once that Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein said that, you know, when all the Jews came from Russia, not that long ago, right? 1991, 1990. So they had a huge problem, because for 70 years, the communists, Yimach Shemam, made it illegal to do anything Jewish, to teach Torah, to observe anything. So people didn't do anything. So people didn't know. They didn't know if they were Kohanim, if they were Levim or Yisraelim. You know, no one had a pidyon haben. So the question was, when you have a suffek, do you obligate in pidyon haben? On the one hand, you could say what Almog just said. It's mamon she'en lo tovin. Right? No Kohen can come and demand the money, because he can say, I would have given it to somebody else. And you have a suffek here. On the other hand, maybe you should follow a rove. You have a majority. Most people are not Kohanim. Most people are not Levim. So most people are going to be obligated in Pidyon HaBen. So do you follow a rove? I think that was the...
They can't do a Pidyon like communal pidyon?
No, each person has to do
it's
a pidyon.
It's going
to
be done by. The question is, can the chief rabbi do it on behalf of the zakin lo la'adam shelo b'fanav?
Oh, you could be that. You could do for someone, but you'd have to do for each person.
Yeah, so
you have to find each
bechor.
Yeah, we give the money right back. Anyway, but it was a question. I think his conclusion was that they did not have to do pidyon aven. Like what you're saying, because it's
mamon
shein lo tovin.
The suffix is on if he's a bechor or not. And here it's the same
there was whether there's the status of Bechor, yeah. Because we don't know if the father's a Kohen or the mother's a Levi, because everything's been forgotten over 70 years of lack of observance.
Even 30 years, you're
right. I think I read a book once that took like 15 years for everything to be forgotten.
So a lot of Jews that made Aliyah to Israel from countries in North Africa, their passport says 0101 and the year of birth because of the communication problem.
Right.
Nobody wrote the birth date.
Right.
So up until today, there's a lot of people that don't know their birthday.
Right.
You know, I was born around Pesach. I was born around... They don't know exactly.
People didn't know.
It's fast. And that's not like 50 years. That's just a miscommunication.
Yeah.
Between the father coming in and he's got three little kids with him and the guy just stamps it and brings them in.
Things get forgotten very quickly. We don't realize how fragile everything is.
0101? 40 something. That's it.
Wow.
Okay. Does it have a date?
Okay, so the Mishnah then said, right, talking about these freak births, umayin ba'achila, what's the status about eating this animal that doesn't look like its mother at all? So the Mishnah said, well, it depends what the mother is. If the mother's kosher, it's kosher. If the mother's not kosher, not. And then the rule is, whatever comes out of the kosher is kosher. Whatever comes out of the non-kosher is non-kosher. So the Gemara asks, lemli lemisti, why did the Mishnah have to give the rule? Shayotzeim. The Gemara answers, it's really not adding anything. Simana Baalmu, it's just a way to remember it. It's a simon. To lo tichluflach, don't make a mistake. To lo tema, don't say zil brasur didei. We have to look at the item itself. Hai tor ma'alyahu, right? If I have a cow from a donkey, it's a cow, so it's kosher. I tell him, if I have a donkey from a cow, it's a donkey, so it's not kosher. No, that's not the case. Way to remember. Look at where it comes from. Zil basar ime. Look at its mother. All right, we follow the mother. How do we know this law? That everything is determined by the mother. If the mother was kosher, the child was kosher. The verse says, Acheze lo tochlu, just this you may not eat in Parsha Shmini, mimale ageira. So the pasuk begins by saying, just this you can't eat from those that are chewing its cud and split hooves. It's saying that there's some things that chew its cud and they have split hooves and you can't eat it. That's to tell you, there's something that might be chewing its cud. And Mafra's parsa, it has split hooves, and he had tochla, but you can't eat it. So what's that? The answer is that's a cow, the child of a donkey. Ezezeh, tohar shenola min atame. It's a kosher creature coming from a non-kosher creature. So Gemara says, why do you read the pasuk that way? Oeinu el atame anoli min atar. If you just, the pasuk's point is that there's some things that have the signs of kosher creatures. Maybe the way to read it is like this. Ella, maybe. Tame anol min atzar. It's saying that if a non-kosher creature, namely a donkey, comes from a cow, it's not kosher. Umayim ma'aleh agirah ma'frisei ha'parsa. How do you read the ma'aleh agirah ma'frisei ha'parsa? Achikam is what it means to say. Davar abam ma'aleh agirah ma'frisei ha'parsa lo teichol. There's something which comes from the creatures that chew their cuds and have split hooves, and yet you can't eat it. And what's that? That's a donkey that comes from a cow. Tam alone, that's what the verse says. Es hagamal ki ma'ale geirahu afarso yinu afriyas tamei hu lachem. Hu tamei. The camel's not kosher. Vein tamei anol min atzor tamei. But that's to imply that if you have a camel coming from a kosher creature, it's not impure elator, but it is kosher. Reb Shimon Omer, Reb Shimon says, he disagrees with the law of our Mishnah. He holds that if you have a non-kosher creature, a donkey that comes from a cow, it's not kosher. So he reads it like this. The verse says, "Es ha-gamal ki ma'ale geiro hu afarsoin enu mafris, tamehu lachem." And then again it says, "Achet zelo tochlu ma'ale ha-geiro mafrisya parsash suas ha-gamal." Since it says ha-gamal shnei pa'amim, the Torah says twice not to eat the camel. That's to say two things. Echad gamal anolad min agmala. Don't eat the camel from a camel. A camel is born from a camel. Ve'echad gamal anolad min apara. And don't eat a camel that comes from a cow. V'rabbana. Now what are the Rabbana going to do with the fact that it says gamal twice? Hai gamal gamal mayavdile. What are they going to do with the fact that it says gamal gamal twice? So the answer is chad leser atzma. One is to say you can't eat the camel. Chad leser chelbo. And one is to say you can't eat the milk of a camel. Now, apparently the Muslims, this is a big problem. The Muslims like camel milk.
The Bedouins love it. So they give anything from camel milk, everything.
Apparently it's growing in America, because as the Muslim population is growing in America, the use of farms to raise camel and then to make camel milk and sell it is growing. That's going to be a big issue. Exactly. So Rav Moshe Feinstein in America, he made a very big leniency. He said that the Gemara says in Masechta Avodah Zarah that we learned that there is a rabbinic law not to eat the milk of a non-Jew, because we're worried that the non-Jew may have put into the milk other things. He didn't have enough cow milk, so he put in some pig milk, he put in some other milk. So Rav Moshe Feinstein was asked, does that apply here in America? He said, since in America people don't like any other milk, they only eat cow milk, and the FDA says you can only label as milk something which comes from a cow, so they're worried about the FDA. So that's the equivalent of having the Jews supervising and saying, yeah, I saw that it was cow milk, they didn't mix anything in. But if this is a truly growing phenomenon, that the Muslims like camel milk, and they're going to start raising camels and using the camel milk, so then we're going to may have a problem, that there will be a fear that the cow milk is contaminated with camel milk, and then we'll all have to go back to Chalav Yisrael to make sure that there's a Jewish mashgiach, make sure that the milk that was milked was from cows and not mixed in with anything else. Apparently in California they have ranches of camels.
In the south of Israel, everywhere you go, they sell camel milk. The Bedouins love it. They make everything with camel milk. In order to make cheese or yogurt, they have to mix it with regular milk, because it doesn't
stand firm.
So they have to add regular milk to the camel milk, and then
they
make it.
Do you use camel milk now?
Yeah, the Arabs do. So the source that camel milk is prohibited is this pasuk. It said gamal twice. So it said gamal twice. So you can't eat the camel and you can't eat the camel milk. So Gemara says, now, according to Rabbi Shimon, who says that the fact that it said gamal twice is to teach me both a camel's no good plus a camel that comes from a cow is no good. So Lasser Chelba Minali. How does he know that the camel milk is not kosher? Nafkalei, so he learns it from me, es ha-gamal. Since it says es, I know that whenever the Torah says the word S, that's to include something which is subordinate to the camel, is the milk from the camel. Rabbanan, why'd they have to use the word gamal gamal? Why didn't they use Esa gamal? Esam lo dash, they don't interpret the word S ever. As we know, there was a famous argument, Gita Tanya's learned in a braisa. Shimon HaMsuni, Ayadorish kol S S Shabbat Torah. Shimon HaMsuni used to interpret every time it says the word S. So for example, it says, Kabed S Avicha Vesimecha, not just Kabed Avicha Vimecha, to include your older brother. You have to honor your older brother too. Once he got up to the pasuk of Es Hashem Elokecha Tira, Piresh, he stopped interpreting all the Esen. Amru lo talmidav. So a student said to him, Rabbi, our teacher, kol Esen shederash matei aleim. So what happens to all your effort? All the times you interpret the word Es, what's going to be? Now you say it's all wrong, because there's nothing that could be subordinate and secondary to God. It says, fear God. There's Es Hashem Elokecha Tira. You can't say, fear God plus something like God. There's nothing like God. So what happens to all those drashos? Wow, here's the greatness of Shimon HaMsuni. Yamar Lemi said to them, Kishem Shekibalti Sachar al Adrisha, the same way I got reward for all the things I interpreted, all the laws I pulled out, Kachani Makabel Sachar al Aprisha, I'll get reward for walking away from it all. I know it was all wrong now, so the fact that I walk away from everything, that'll give me also reward. So my life's effort, my life's work was all a mistake, it's fine. I'm listening to Hashem. I'm trying to get to the truth. It wasn't the truth. I got rewarded. I walked away from it all. It's amazing. So often people are so invested in what they put in effort into. How do they walk away? Walk so away. Kibalti Yisrael Apisha. If it's not true, it's not true. I walk all the way. Amazing. So then Rabbi Akiva came and he taught. I always thought Rabbi Akiva was inspired by seeing how Shimon HaMsuni would walk away from his life's work. He said, if that's what a Talmud Chacham is, that's what's like Hashem. Es Hashem Elokecha Tzira, the word Es, is L'Rabos Talmidei Chachamim. So what do you see? You see that there's a whole argument. Should you interpret Esim or not? So that's what's going on here too. According to one view, you interpret Esim. So then Es HaGamal tells me that the camel milk's no good. If I don't interpret Esim, so then Rabbi Shimon doesn't interpret Esim. He's Poresh, he stopped interpreting Esim. So we have to have the word Gamal, Gamal, the two Gamals. I'm sorry, no, he interprets Esim. The Chacham don't interpret Esim, so they use Gamal, Gamal to include camel milk being prohibited and as well as camels being prohibited. Amalei Rav Acha, Bredi Rav Lei Rav Ashi. So Rav Acha said to Rav Ashi, Elam Yatzis, and now, time with Rabbanami Gamal, Gamal. The Rabbanan prohibit camel milk because of the fact that it says gamal twice. Prohibited. Rabbi Shimon prohibits camel milk from Esa gamal. Halav achi, but otherwise, Hav Amina would have thought to say, Chalav de behema tmeya shari. The milk of a non-kosher animal is kosher. I don't understand, right? If I didn't have a pasuk, what would I think? Camel milk's allowed. Ma'ishtam ha'adetanya. Why would it be different from what we learned in a brisa back in Chulin about the shratzim, since it says hatimayim, there's the added word hat, the added hay of hatimayim, the impure ones, lesor tziran, to prohibit their fat, the rotvan, and the moisture that comes out of them, the kippah, and the sediments that they're cooked, shalahen. So whatever comes out of the non-kosher is non-kosher. So I don't need a pasuk of S or gamal. No, it's I would need it. Zalkadai Chachamim would have thought to say, "Hold the behemah Torah nami chiddushu, especially in milk." I would have thought milk is permitted in milk from a camel, because I would have thought like this: milk of a cow is. It's very amazing that it's permitted. Right, Tamar Mark, because we've learned, damne karvenasa chalav. How does milk happen? Milk is born from the blood. My interesting views of biology, that the blood of the nida is the blood of the endometrial lining, and the endometrial lining collapses, so then there's the flow of blood. When a woman becomes pregnant or an animal becomes pregnant, so there is no collapse of the endometrial lining, because the endometrial lining becomes a placenta. So the Gemara says when the animal is nursing, or when a woman is nursing, what's going on is that the blood of nida becomes milk. So blood is normally not kosher. Now it's milk. So why is it kosher? It's a chiddush. Came in the chiddush, it's a chiddush. I would think we behemah tmei anami lishtui. So if it's really, if milk is really blood that became milk, so blood we know is not kosher. Now it's kosher as milk. So I would say, wow, milk's amazing. Milk's always kosher. So I would think it'd be kosher even in a camel. That's a kamash one. That's a neither pasuk, either the word gamal or the word esagamal, to say that the milk of a camel is not kosher.
Anything from red to white is hamtakata dinim.
That's right. So the Gemara now says, "Hani chalaman." Well, that's okay if you think that. That dam ne'akavanas achalav. If you think that milk comes from blood, that blood becomes milk. So you say milk is a chiddush. I need a pasuk to say that milk is allowed as a chiddush. Then I need a pasuk to say that milk of a camel is not allowed. Elman, but according to the other opinion, that where does the milk come from? A varam is parkin a mehana. That because a woman or a camel give or an animal give birth, there's a lot of pain. So because she was in all this pain, she doesn't have the flow of nidus for 24 months. And the milk comes from something else, not from the blood. So now, why do I need a pasuk? Of course, from the fact that we have of hatmeim, that the other elements of the sheretz are not allowed. So I would know also that in camel, the other elements of the camel are not allowed. The milk of the camel is not allowed. Why do I need a pasuk of esa gamal or gamal twice? And so, I would need it for the following. Yitzchich, I need it because the Daita Chamin would have thought to say, Ho v'leka midi da'asi mechai v'shaya rachmana. There's nothing that comes from the living that Hashem permits. What comes from the living is Eivrim and Achai, or Basim and Achai. V'hai chalav, some milk, evir minachayu. Milk, though, even though it's evir minachay, it's permitted. V'shari. Hilkach, I would have thought also behemoth tmeah tishtri. Even in a non-kosher animal, it becomes permitted. Kalashman, that's why I needed to learn that it doesn't become permitted. So the Gemara now says, you've raised an interesting point, that really milk itself is very surprising that it's permitted. Why should milk be allowed? Milk is coming from a living creature. It doesn't fit with the rule of our Mishnah. The rule of our Mishnah is what comes from the non-kosher is non-kosher, what comes from the kosher is kosher. A living creature is non-kosher. It's Eva Menachai. You can't take a limb, you can't take meat out of it. So why can you take milk out of it? How do we even know this idea? That milk of, let's say, a sheep or a goat or a cow is permitted. If it's on the fact that Hashem says you can't have milk with meat, so clearly it's only milk and meat you can't have together, but milk alone you could have and meat alone you could have. But if each one is alone, it's permitted. Who says? Why don't I suggest maybe milk on its own is also not allowed? And chalav l'chudei, and you have milk on its own, it's not allowed. It's aser ba'achila, but it's mutar ba'anah, but you can get benefit. And baser b'chalav, the added prohibition of milk with meat, is that that is ba'anah nami aser. That's to create a prohibition of getting benefit too. And l'Rabbi Shimon d'shari ba'anah, the Rabbi Shimon who allows milk and meat for benefit, mishkach hasla, I can tell you what the new novelty is in the prohibition of milk and meat. The milk yal bishula, to get lashes for just the cooking together. But maybe milk on its own is already prohibited. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you how I know that milk on its own is allowed. Ela midagali rachman b'psula mikdashim. The fact that Hashem says about a carbon that gets a blemish and is then redeemed, tizbach, you can slaughter it and eat the meat. The lo giza, it's true, you're allowed to eat the meat, but you're not allowed to shear its wool. Basar, you let eat the meat, velo chalav, you're not allowed to eat the milk. So that tells you how the chulin, but if you have a regular animal that doesn't have any holiness and never was holy at all, you are allowed to eat the milk. Maybe not. They might could tell you the chulin, asr ba'achila v'shari ba'anah. When you have a regular animal of chulin, maybe this milk is not allowed to be eaten because it's coming from Eiver Menachai, so it's not allowed. But you're allowed to get benefit from it. And the kachi, but when you talk about karbanos, even a karban that was pas, that was blemished and then redeemed, here it's to tell me you can't even get the benefit from the milk. So again, we're back to this question. How do we know that milk is allowed? Ella, so maybe it's in the following, the verse in Mishlei. The verse says, V'dei chalav izim l'lachmacha l'lechem beisecha v'chaim l'narosecha. And you'll have enough milk from the goats for the bread of your household and for life for your youth. So you see, you'll let it have milk. Maybe not. Maybe that means v'duma l'schora. You can have milk that you can sell. Gentiles will give you money, and with money you'll be able to provide for your family. Ela, so the source is midichtiv, because the pasuk says that Yishai told David when he's going out on his trip to Goliath to take as aseretz charitzei achelev, achalav. Take these 10. What are charitzim? I guess some type of.
It's like chunks of cheese or something. Charitz.
So a chunk of cheese. Again, so you see he can eat the milk. No, v'dum l'schora. Maybe he's just going to do business with it. So Gemara says, after darka shel melchama l'schora. I understand, when you're in a war, people are doing business. Clearly, it's not that. You're just going
to
eat it.
You're supposed to give it to the general there. Mm. Was he going to sell it to the general?
Right. Exactly. So if he's supposed to give it to the general who's fighting Goliath, it's clearly not something he's going to sell. So you see, the Jews are allowed to eat cheese. If Jews can eat cheese, they can eat milk. Yibayah same. Alternatively, I'll tell you how we know that you're allowed to eat milk. Mehacha, because the pasuk says, Hashem is going to bring it to the land that's Eretz Zavas Chalav Udvash, a land flowing with milk and honey. Yilo Deshari, if you're not allowed to have the milk, Mishtabeach Lan Krab Amidi Delo Chazis. The pasuk is going to start praising Eretz Yisrael with something which is you can't even eat. Can't even eat it. Or else there's another pasuk, a third possibility, again in Yeshaya. The verse says, L'chu shivru v'cholu, go buy and eat. L'chu shivru below kesef, and go buy without money, v'lo mechir, and without any price, yayin v'cholav, wine and milk. So it's the Navi saying, go buy milk. Clearly the milk is permitted. Okay, So now the Gemara says, if you've interpreted Gamal Gamal to say either Rabbi Shimon's view, the camel's not allowed, plus a camel, the child of a cow, is not allowed, or the Chacham's view, the camel's not allowed, Gamal, and then the other time it says Gamal to say that the milk of a camel is not allowed. What about all the other things there in Parsha Shmini? Shafan, Shafan, Arneves, Arneves, Chazir, Chazir, Lahani Udeasa. So what are these things for? When it's are they coming for the same drashos? Ella, so rather, what's going on in Parsha Shmini? The Kedetanya, for the, what we learned in the Braisa. Lama Nishnu Bevehema. Why were the laws of the unkosher animals repeated again with the animals? Mipnei Hashesua. Because there's going to be an addition. In Parsha Shmini, the Torah is also going to mention that a creature that has two spines is non-kosher. Uba Ufos, and in the birds. Mipnei Ra, to mention that the ra'ah, which is a type of bird, is not kosher. And therefore, gamal, gamal. So maybe also the fact that he repeated the word gamal is for this chiddush, to tell me the law of shesua. Lach yudasa. So Gemara says, you could have said that, but if we can give another interpretation, we would rather give that. Okay, we'll stop here. And everyone should have a wonderful day and a wonderful chag.